The following is a Cast Wave Studios production.
Hello, hello, all you out there in internet land. Welcome to Boldly Going Nowhere. It's a podcast. You listen to it with yours. And as you can see, we are live at AwesomeCon 2018. We're actually, so we're in a similar situation to what we were last year. We got they were nice enough to give us a table to promote the studio. But we wanted to actually, instead of doing just, you know, like live discussion pieces from the floor, we actually just wanted to do a live episode of BGN just because we've been preparing for this for a couple weeks. So we haven't really done like regular episodes, at least since the beginning of March, I think it was.
Yeah.
So
it's been a while.
We've been busy. It's been a while. Anyway, but there's a couple things that have been going on this last week that I feel like merit discussion. Like, first of all, I got him right here, and let's talk. All right, so obviously, anybody who's been following the whole FCC situation with Agent Pi trying to nix net neutrality, you know, to sort of beef up, you know, profits for your internet service providers like Comcast and Time Warner and
Time Warner, Comcast, AT&T,
you know, all them
the oligarchy,
all them dicks. Yeah. Well, anyway, so now Elon Musk is throwing his hat in the ring. Now, he had discussed it before, but now he's actually gotten approval from the FCC to launch satellites. They're sending up two right now for testers, but they want to send up as many as 11,925 satellites. That means that even the most rural areas on the planet Earth can get internet access.
Which is awesome.
Yeah, which is great. Like, hey, you live in Tonga, you can get internet access now.
I mean, that, like, flies in the face of everything that, like, Mark Zuckerberg and Bill and Melinda Gates were trying to do. And it's just, like, he jumped ahead and, like, made leaps and bounds.
Which is great. But I heard that, and I was like, 12,000 satellites. That's a pretty big deal. And what happens when they start, you know, what happens when one of them goes out of orbit and crashes?
I mean, that's space debris. There's thousands.
There's already thousands of satellites. I mean, that's the thing. There's already thousands of satellites already in orbit.
It's the trash band.
The trash band. That's good. That's a good one. I like that. Is that what it's called, or did you just come up with that?
I just came up with that. It's the trash band.
You brilliant boy, you.
But
I mean, Elon Musk is already a vanguard in electric cars,
right?
In, you know, reusable space travel, and now he's trying to, because he's gone on record saying this could be where, like, doing affordable internet for the entire world is an industry that could give us tens of billions, if not hundreds of billions of dollars of revenue. And I'm just like, I mean, I'm glad that he's willing to, you know, do that process where he's like, yes, I'm willing to, I forgot to put this up. Currently recording podcasts. I forgot to put that sign up. Whoops.
Whoopsie.
But, it's great because he's willing to do that because he wants it to be beneficial for the entire world, but he's obviously still a businessman, so he's not losing, you know, sight of the almighty dollar or whatever the highest valued currency is right now.
Bitcoin.
Bitcoin, yeah. He's got to keep an eye on his Bitcoins.
Elon coins.
You know, you laugh, but that's something he would do, probably.
Musk Mint.
There's our episode title, Musk Mint.
Oh, man.
All right, so next I want to talk about, this is something that I saw 2 days ago, and it is legit been cracking me up. It's been cracking my shit up all week. So,
okay.
I don't know if you're aware of this, but Donald Trump recently put in legislation that he doesn't want to pay for oil paintings anymore. You know, the presidential oil painting, like the official portraits they put up?
Yeah.
You know, it's what they end up using on Wikipedia for, you know, people's, you know, for presidents' Wikipedia pages. Well, so Trump, you know, decided, you know, I don't like oil paintings. They're not my thing. They're not huge. It's not huge. Mine would be the best oil painting ever, but I don't like oil paintings, so I'm going to stop the oil paintings. Right? So,
Why don't you just get George Bush to paint it?
Well, so, somebody's already stepped up to the plate and decided that they're going to paint one for him. And
Jim Carrey paints.
Yep. And that's who it is, Sean.
Oh, yay.
Mr. Nutty Professor himself. I mean, not really, but you know what I mean.
That's Eddie Murphy.
I know it's Eddie Murphy, but, you know. So, Jim Carrey actually painted a portrait of Donald Trump and officially submitted it to the Smithsonian for consideration.
Do you have the image?
Oh, I have the image.
Because I want to see this.
So Jim Carrey tweeted this at the Smithsonian and said, here it is. So, dear Smithsonian National Portrait Gallery, I know it's early, but I'd like to submit this as the official portrait of our 45th president, Donald J. Trump. It's called You Scream, I Scream, Will We Ever Stop Screaming? Are you ready?
Yeah.
Are you ready for this?
I'm ready.
Get it up on the camera there. Ed.
Oh, my God.
Just for those of you playing the home game,
just
this is so
ridiculous.
Oh, it's but I'm. Could you think of a better depiction of Donald Trump? Really?
I can't.
I mean, it's
wow.
This portrait features Trump sitting in his bathrobe eating an ice cream cone, which is highly accurate. So he has my vote.
That's Jim Carrey. I mean, what an honor.
Carrey has real attention. This is the description in the article. Sorry. So it's between the orange folds of Trump's skin and the nipple-esque cherries on his ice cream. I was hoping through the next few years of the administration without being forced to look at his burly chest here, but here we are. Ugh. Apparently, Jim Carrey's also done some other work, including this wonderful portrait of Sarah Huckabee Sanders. You want to show that to the...
Oh, that's fantastic.
Oh, God, there's more. There's more.
Keep out. Sewage contaminated politics exposure may cause illness.
Oh, my God, Jim Carrey is amazing.
Wow.
No, show that one.
Am I showing this one?
Yeah. It's so good. It's so good. Why is this a thing? Who knew? Oh, I love the end of this article. It says, Rembrandt, El Greco, step aside and meet the portrait painter of the 21st century, Ace Ventura, pet detective. Oh, my God.
He's fantastic.
It is.
He's like my hero now.
It is. It's great. Oh, geez.
Yeah.
All right, so we got...
The next one.
That's that. Okay, so... On a more, so, you remember, like, when you were kids, or when you were watching an old movie, and, like, the parent of a child is saying something like, you'll catch super herpes, or, and you're like,
super herpes.
That's not a thing.
With the power of hurt.
I was like, that's not a thing. Why would you say that? It's not a thing. Is it a thing? It's not a thing. No, apparently, though, the first confirmed case of drug-resistant super gonorrhea has officially been confirmed.
There's never been a time where nerds weren't more safe.
I mean, I know in popular culture, nerds are always sort of like, you know, aimed as like sexually frustrated, but maybe that's a good thing in this case.
Right.
Because at least you wouldn't be getting super gonorrhea.
Exactly.
So apparently in the United Kingdom, it's the first confirmed case of multi-drug-resistant gonorrhea. Multiple drugs. Oh, jeez. So health experts have expressed concern for some time about the rise of drug-resistant strains of sexually transmitted infections. Still, even as gonorrhea strains begin to evade certain antibodies, doctors have usually been able to treat the disease using combination of some commonly used medications.
Until now.
Until
now. Okay, it's just...
This summer.
Oh, okay. So, it's a gentleman from the UK who apparently reported one regular female sexual partner in the UK and one in Southeast Asia.
Oh, God.
You never cross the streams.
Never cross.
Bill Murray taught us that you don't cross the streams.
It's okay to cross swords.
Sure, in certain situations.
But never the streams.
Never cross the streams. Stay in your lane. Stay in your lane. Stay in your lane. That's the other portion of this.
That's it. Like, you know, you just got to be careful, man.
Don't be a fool. Wrap your tool.
Mm-hmm.
But it's just, is it just one of those things where when you hear this, though, you're like, okay, what celebrity caught it?
Right.
So we were in the car, and I mentioned this, and he's like, okay, which Kardashian caught that?
Probably.
Don't name names.
Chloe. Chloe.
Jesus.
It's like, hello, Chloe Kardashian. And just, you put your hand out to shake her hand. Like, oh, God, I've got it.
Everyone within a 50-foot radius of this person is now officially caught gonorrhea.
She has made it airborne. Only through farts. Brian screwed.
Okay. Moving on. I do want to ask you this. So, obviously, you saw Ready Player One already.
Yes, I have.
And we're not going to go into an in-depth conversation about it yet, but I do want to talk about it. So, you've read the book, you've listened to the book multiple times. So, I have to ask the question to you.
Unashamed.
So, I have to ask the question for you. How, give me a percentage, how accurate to the book is the film? Give me numbers.
38%.
Really?
It is... There's a lot of changes that have been made. And keep in mind, if he would have made this, it would have, like, to the letter of the law, it would have been... a Peter Jackson extended cut would be a short film in comparison. So it's long, hell long.
But you got to condense, essentially, what... It was like a 14-hour audiobook?
Yeah,
you gotta condense that to a 2.5-hour movie.
Yes, yeah, so like a 14-16-hour audiobook into like about an hour and 45 minutes. There's gonna be deleted scenes, I just know it.
Yeah,
but
sure.
But the references coming out of this was insane. I'm going to talk non-spoiler. I'm not gonna really talk spoilers, but it was excellent.
Yeah.
And the changes he did made, I thought were. It was an advantage to the story, not a hindrance.
Okay.
So, the CGI is just unlike anything you've ever seen. It's something now you have to see in theaters. It's just one of those things. It's one of those Spielberg movies you have to see in theaters.
Especially with that. So, most films with an over-reliance on CGI end up losing something. Do you think Ready Player One, because again, like you said, it's a large portion of its CGI because of its setting.
Uh-huh.
Do you think it suffers as a result?
No. Because I know that he used the digital tools that were available to him because it's a virtual world. So the people who love this book and who really like everything that's in it are going to love the movie as well.
Uh-huh.
There might be a couple of percentages of people that, you know, that didn't like any changes whatsoever, like the book as is. That's fine.
Where's Will Wheaton? I want Will Wheaton.
The Wheatonverse. Where is it?
Now remember, not to be confused with the Wheatonverse. It's the Wheatonverse.
The
Will Wheatonverse.
The Will Wheatonverse. Actually,
the Wheatonverse.
Actually, in the book, Will Wheaton and I think Neil Patrick Harris or somebody else are in charge of are the president of Oasis User Rights. So they get voted in every couple of years, and so it's the Oasis elections.
Nice.
Yeah. So that was cool how he put his name into that. So.
Oh, Will Wheatons.
Will Wheatons, which I do have my nephew has a box of Wheatons signed by Will Wheaton. Last year here at AwesomeCon.
Yeah.
One of the
best moments of last year's AwesomeCon, your nephew just brings in a regular old box of Wheatons, walks up to Will Wheaton, gets him to sign the box of I was about to call it Will Wheatons, but yeah, just gets him to sign the box of Wheatons. And so from now on, we've just collectively started calling Will Wheaton Will Wheatons.
Yeah. So, it's just a fantastic movie.
The
problem is, like, I can't talk about too much of it without giving everything away.
What a recommendation on your part, right?
A recommendation on my part. I'll do one that's, I don't know, spoilers, I guess. Not really spoilers, but if you want to run to this movie with nothing, obviously you haven't been on the internet.
Okay.
Because the trailers are everywhere. So instead of, like, they put movie references, and, like, War Games was one of those in the book.
Which was an amazing movie.
Yeah.
Go see War Games if you haven't seen it.
War Games is fantastic.
Matthew Broderick, Ali Sheedy.
But this one, it's the hotel from The Shining. Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
It was really cool.
No, it was really cool.
If you're a fan of Kubrick, you'll really enjoy that reference.
I get that.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm a little bit bummed because I wanted to see that scene, but I knew there was no way they could pull it off.
Yeah. They pull it off here, I think, in a nice way. It's great.
Is it like the scene? Like, is it the scene where he's chasing Danny, or is it the scene where he's like trying?
There's a couple of different ones.
Wendy, darling, light of my life, you didn't let me finish. I just said I'm not going to hurt you. I'm just going to bash your brains in.
No, Jack Nicholson's not in it at all. They're just they're just in the location.
Boo.
They're just in the location. So the setting.
Oh, okay.
It's
okay.
Just the setting.
So they're in the Overlook Hotel.
Yeah, they're in the Overlook Hotel.
The little girls show up?
Yeah.
Play with us.
Yeah, they do. And one of the characters that runs into him in the hallway, and just the reaction, it was just... Because he hasn't seen the movie before, so he's just like, oh, hey, little girls. Like, and he just starts talking to them, and everyone else is like, no, no, no.
No, 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 no. Bad idea.
Insert right here in fun times and soup.
Yeah.
So.
Why would you talk to the little girls?
It's so great.
So Ready Player One, definite recommendation from you.
Definite recommendation. If you have read the book, obviously you've already wanted to go see it and going to see it.
Right.
If you read the book and haven't seen it, what's wrong with you? Go see it this weekend. Immediately.
I'm going to go see it tomorrow. I haven't seen it yet, so I'm going to go see it tomorrow. But...
When are you seeing it tomorrow?
I don't know. I haven't decided yet. Probably, I mean, because so, relation to what today is the day before Easter, so we're considering maybe not coming to the con tomorrow because, you know, it's a holiday, probably going to be dead.
Yeah.
Then again, I don't know, I haven't decided yet, so if I go, I might only come for a couple of hours, then go back, but I'm definitely going to see it tomorrow, whether I see it late or early, but I'll text you when I go see it.
Cool.
But... I'm still super excited about it. It is a book that Sean kept pushing on me for like the longest time.
And
he's like, you have to listen to this. It is amazing.
It's
like,
it's awesome.
It's like, well, how like long is it? It's like, it's 14 hours. I'm like,
The amount of the credits were the longest credits I've ever sat through on a movie. Mainly because all the rights, all the courtesy listings.
All right,
listings.
I gotta ask the question then. Is there a after credit sequence?
No. That's why I stayed.
Well, I guess good. I guess that's good, though, because really, I know there was another book that Ernest Klein wrote. It wasn't a direct sequel.
It's not at all. Well, he's working on it.
He's working on a sequel.
He's working on it with Steven Spielberg as a kind of a wall to bounce ideas off of.
Because of course, Hollywood just can't let anything go.
No. Absolutely not.
Sacrifice to the almighty dollar.
Even our sacred film, The Room. But that was a good thing. So. It's our sacred film, Colin.
No! That movie is awful.
But great.
Funny awful. Don't get me wrong.
It's funny.
Funny awful.
One of the best comedies I've ever seen.
One of the best unintentional dark comedies I've ever seen in my life.
I love Godfather.
I'll have that. All right. I think we're going to wrap it up for this episode.
Okay.
But we will be back. We will be actually interviewing some people around here.
That sounds fun.
Well, you know, because it's, we know what we've done every year. We've come to this event and we've been like, yeah, we're going to interview that. We're going to interview that famous person and that famous person. And recently, in more times, we've done more, we're going to interview people in the booths. I definitely want, because the thing is, this convention is like the best of local area, both artists and vendors and all that. And I felt like, you know what, why don't we do more, you know, more recordings with them? So that's what we're going to do. So that'll probably be the next couple episodes, especially with the gentleman right across the way.
Absolutely.
But until, you'll have to stay to watch that one. So until next time, I'm Colin Kakamas.
I'm Sean Holmes.
And you've been boldly going nowhere. Sean, hit me with the outro.
I don't have the soundboard with me.
Just-